Hello. Hello, and welcome to Is Able, the radio show about possibilities, where we look at a person with disabilities, what they can do, and judge them on those terms rather than what they cannot do. This is our second series of episodes, and I think it's very timely because we're looking at issues related to online learning for all students. And one of the issues that we really have addressed in this last year politically in this country is the issue of equality and looking at students and the students that can work well online. And so we're interviewing today Danny Rock, who is the principal of Vashon High School. I wish that Rock would be kind of a cool name for a principal. You've got that going for you right off the bat, you know. Danny, how long have you been at Vashon High School?
Well, this is my eighth year.
Okay. And so you're kind of a Vashonite, you know. When you get into that eight to 10 year area, you know, you can say, you know, I'm from Vashon now, and that's very cool.
That's very, very generous of you, though. I did marry into the island. My wife is a born and raised Vashonite.
Oh, is that right? Well, you get like instant credibility, you know, for that. That's good. Well, one of the things that we just also talked to the principal at Chautauqua, but one of the things that we've done in this series of interviews is really talk to educators from all different levels of teaching. I also talked to another principal at a middle school in Tacoma, Mason Middle School, and this is his first year as a principal. So I kind of said extra prayers for him because you know, it's coming into that your first year. Also, I do a lot of work with training student teachers, and that's also been an issue because how do you train student teachers online for a system that probably in another year is going to be back in the school system? So, and I really want to look at this also from positives and negatives. I think, would you agree that parents have a little more knowledge of what schools actually do rather than just dropping their kid off in the morning and picking him up in the evening?
Well, certainly at the secondary level, I think that's particularly true. You know, secondary learning has been able to maintain the direct instruction experience for students in a much more coherent way than for elementary school students who don't have the attention span or the digital skills really necessary to navigate, you know, a learning experience online. But for secondary students, you know, who are receiving, you know, 4 to 5 hours of instruction during the day, parents all of a sudden have a front row seat to that experience that they never had before. And so they're getting to hear their teachers actually present the content and interact with students and respond to students. And that's brand new.
Yeah, I actually think that's really cool because I think one of the things that, you know, having been an educator myself for over 50 years, you know, we've always tried to, you know, create an alliance between, you know, parents and supporting schools and understanding what schools are all about. And all of a sudden, it's overnight, essentially, it's in your face. And I think that's really good. I've heard a lot of parents say, you know, I really didn't realize how hard it was to teach school. And I think that's a pretty valid statement. Tell me what this year has been like for you. Probably a pretty big learning curve for everybody out there.
Yeah, you know, I have to be honest with you, and I think I reflect a good number of my staff as well, who would say that this way of teaching and learning, and certainly as a school administrator, is kind of all the not fun parts of the job without the fun parts of the job present.
Right.
So it's nothing that any of us signed up for or really are interested in continuing any longer than absolutely necessary. So this year has been it's been very challenging for me. My leadership approach and my personal motivation for being in schools is very much about connecting with students and being focused on students, getting to know them, talking with them, hearing from them, interacting with them, and I'm really getting very, very little of that experience this year. So that's been sad and a bit frustrating. You know, we have an entire freshman class that's come into the school, and they have had virtually no orientation or opportunity to really understand what it means to be a Vashon High School student, because they've had none of the incidental interactions or really opportunities to observe how other students and older students navigate the school. And so there's a little bit of that siloing of students, you know, into their classes has really kind of stripped away at what is otherwise a much more rich student life and student culture within the school community.
You know, I think that's really a really great comment, because when I think back of my own teaching career, and I wound up teaching graduate classes at Central Washington University, you know, those gotcha moments as a teacher, when you really felt good, you know, when you left the school building and you got in your car and you said, gosh, today was just a great day. I really felt like I got through to those kids on whatever lesson it was, or they really were doing some critical thinking, talking about politics. And I really know what you mean when you talk about the fun parts of education. That would be a real tough one. How about just the technological skills? Is that an issue too? I mean, I would think most of the high school, the way I've seen high school kids text with lightning fingers, I would think that, you know, most of them have that technological skill down. But how do you feel? Is it working online okay? Or do you feel like the teachers have the skills and everything they need to work online?
Well, overall, I think that our technology skills have not presented a significant barrier to the learning experience, both for teachers and as well as for students. Vashon is lucky. We have students who are engaged in the learning and who come overwhelmingly from supportive families. And so we have, we've been moving towards kind of the integration of Chromebooks and of learning management systems like Google Classroom. We've been moving in that direction for several years already. And many of my teachers really had been kind of very well positioned to pivot into a completely remote learning experience, where students just frankly continue to access most of the documents and resources and assignments online, just as they were when we were meeting in person, but now the instruction was online as well. So our students did not have to learn, you know, a brand new set of skills. I honestly don't believe any student could have gotten through their entire day last year without having to navigate Google Classroom at least once. So from that standpoint, that we were well positioned to really focus on the other parts of the learning environment, aside from kind of access to the content.
Sure. Do you have student teachers that are placed with any of the teachers that are at the high school now?
Not this year, no.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking. I know that Central has cut back on that tremendously. How about counseling? You know, I when I went through high school, of course, you know, getting together with a counselor and deciding if you're a senior, where you might want to go and what kind of applications you needed to have in, and that whole process. Is there still an ability for the seniors to this year to meet with counselors and to go over those kinds of skills?
Yes. Our school counselors, first of all, are great employees here at the high school and very experienced and really understand well how to prepare our students for their next steps. And meeting with large groups of students in an assembly-like format, sure, or providing kind of education and instruction on how to be prepared, that is fairly accessible with online video meetings. And so we can hold a senior class meeting and they can get help filling out scholarship applications or how to write an essay for admission into college. That kind of content we've continued to be able to provide. What has been more challenging has been, our seniors typically can stop by very quickly in between a class, during lunch, or before or after school, and have a quick 5-minute interaction that really helps them in the process. And those more incidental interactions and access to our counselors have been challenging not only for our seniors, but also for our at-risk students who depend often on those kind of quick check-ins to help them navigate their challenges.
I think that would be really important, because I know I've probably spent a half an hour different times texting someone who I could, if I could drop into an office and talk to them for 30 seconds, I could probably get the same amount of support. Mm-hmm. Socialization, I know that's, certainly an issue in high school. How do we respect others? How do we treat others? How do we deal with equality, gender issues, all those kinds of things? Is there a way of kind of getting that message across to students too through the online?
Well, we have had some efforts around our racial equity work this year, and our student equity team is actually going to be leading the whole school in kind of a combination of Black History Month starting in February, and then also a belated recognition of MLK's birthdays here in 2 Mondays from now, February 1st. They'll be doing the students will be leading the rest of our students in a grade level assemblies. So I'm really looking forward to that. But more of the day-to-day and ongoing work that we do to support and guide students and how they interact with each other is, I would say, pretty non-existent in this current format. First of all, the students are having very limited interactions with each other in remote learning and online learning. We do have the ability to put students into small groups, into breakouts, but our teachers notice that when they jump into those virtual breakout sessions, that students are having a hard time engaging with each other. And I think it's both a combination of it being an awkward format to interact,
mm-hmm.
But also, students, I think in general, are struggling with their motivation to engage. They've been doing weird school for a year now almost, and it's old. They're pretty done with it.
Yeah, you're right. Really, if you think about it, it was really March of last year when we got our first COVID case here in Seattle, and look what's happened since then. Do you expect, and I know you can't predict the future, But do you expect that we'll have quite a few students back in school by fall?
I do. You know, if my best guess is that we will return to full in-person learning in the fall. We actually have the ability right now to be doing a lot more in-person learning than we're currently doing.
Mm-hmm.
Based on how the state has set up flexibility for local communities to make decisions on their in-person learning and hybrid learning. So there are actually districts in Washington State right now whose high school students are going to school 3 days a week with half their high school population. Our community is moving, you know, really thoughtfully and slowly and safely through this, you know, pandemic, and it shows with our low numbers, and so I'm perfectly comfortable with where we're at, but all that to say is that once the vaccines, you know, are able to roll through our community and adults and our most vulnerable populations have some inoculations and some protections, then I would predict that, man, the appetite for returning to normal is just going to be overwhelming.
Yeah, it'll be, I think you're right. I think it's going to be really interesting. I'm 72, and I finally qualified for a group I really didn't want to qualify for, but I'm happy that I have. I've got my first shot coming on the 27th, so I'm pretty excited. I've kind of got it marked off, and you know, how many weeks after that I get the second shot, and so I think that at that time, even though I'm not too much of a rabble rouser at 72, I think I'm going to be a little more active in the community and try and get out and do things. It'll be interesting, too, to see what happens to some of those businesses, some of the travel businesses who've just been devastated, you know, now. Do you think this has been harder for older teachers than younger teachers?
I think that, you know, I think it's harder on teachers who have really invested a lot into their former version of teaching and learning. So not necessarily, I have staff who are all over the age spectrum, and some of my, you know, I have staff members who are in a similar age bracket as you are, who are doing a fantastic job with remote learning and earning high praise from students and other staff, you know, on how they're navigating this. But what they have in common with young staff who are doing well is that they have kind of always been reinventing themselves and nimble in their profession and having a learner attitude. And so this just represents the next opportunity to reinvent themselves. For anyone who has sort of been a little more rigid in their practice or is, you know, committed to a very certain way of doing their job, this has been an extremely challenging endeavor for them, because they've had to reinvent their practice with really none of the same time and thoughtfulness that they put into the previous version of their practice.
I can get around relatively easy on a computer, but if I was still teaching, I might be one of those teachers that they would say, Mr. Rock, could you talk to Dr. Nurse to see if he can build his technology skills a little bit? But, yeah. How about sports? Are we going to have – think we'll have some sports in the – I know that's really important to a lot of students. And
yeah. Well, the sports season is broken up into four seasons in Washington State. And people don't realize, and we have the traditional fall, winter, and spring sports seasons, but we actually have a fourth season where all sports are able to do non-sport-specific workouts. And we've actually been in that fourth sports season since late August. So we've had anywhere between 35 and 50 high school athletes who have been conditioning and working out, sometimes inside their, like with coaches, other times just with other athletes from other sports. Every single day, there's been student athletes working out at VHS on the fields, and for a short time there in the fall, they were actually able to be inside, but when the numbers were much lower. So there has been an outlet for students, which has been fantastic. We actually are quite close here to what will be a very short, truncated actual sports season. So the WIAA is authorizing leagues around the state to sort of use their own local numbers and situations and context to decide when they are going to start their fall sports season. And once they start their fall sports season, then sort of all the traditional athletic parameters go into place. And meaning that the only sports that are happening are the fall sports, and then they will conclude and move into winter sports. So we're waiting for the numbers from Washington State in our region to just get a little bit better. Governor Inslee released in the last couple of weeks the two-phase approach, where every Friday updated numbers are released, and they're released in four areas. And for high school athletics, three out of those four areas are already in the right range, and the fourth one is pretty close. So we're just waiting for the numbers to move us into phase two. And once we're in phase two in our region, then we will begin fall sports. So that's the long answer. Short answer is yes. I do believe we're going to have a high school athletics this year.
Well, and it was a real informative answer too. And I think I also really, one of the things that I heard you mention pretty specifically was the issue of, safety and kind of moving slowly. And I think that, it's kind of that thing, we found some of these states and some of the, different areas that have opened quicker or faster are, finding that they're kind of having to, hit the reset button on that. So it seems to me to do it slower. And I can say that because it doesn't affect me and my job. But, and I know it's much, much, much harder on most people than it is on someone like myself. But, well, you sure can't go back once the numbers start to climb the other way. So yeah. I think also, don't you also feel that the herd, kind of what they call the herd immunity, if there's enough people out there that are, getting immunized, I'm getting the same, I guess they told me that the vaccination that I'm getting is the same one that they also tried on dogs in United Kingdom, and it worked on them. So, I guess as long as, I'm still anxious to get it, even if I wind up wanting to drive with my head out the window and chasing cars, I'll still...
acceptable side effects.
Yes, very acceptable side effects, that's for sure. How about, another one that the areas that I think about, too, that's kind of important is the area of lunches. And I don't think you can see a movie on TV or any place that has to do with high school kids that doesn't have some pictures of them in the lunchroom. I think that's kind of an important area for socialization. How do you feel about that? And are we getting that? We are getting some of the meals to students, aren't we?
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about, there's a kind of a two layers there to your question. I think one is just the role of our food service program in general, right, in the high school setting, and how we're responding and kind of supporting the nutritional needs of our students. And of course, the second part of that is just how critical to student life the lunch experience is during the school day. And you know, our students on Vashon now have been, if a student has been going to Vashon schools their whole career, they, if they started in kindergarten, they would now be a senior, and they would have been eating the food from Lisa Syra, our food service director, that entire time. And they are 100% spoiled rotten. They have absolutely no idea how good they have it with our food service program. We are one of only two programs in the entire state of Washington that makes our food from scratch in the school kitchen. She has, when state auditors come through to measure the nutritional value, they don't even have tools to measure the nutritional value of food made from scratch in school lunch programs. And so it's just an amazing program. And the food that they produce there is, I mean, I had students complaining a few years ago to me that the portion sizes were too small, that the staff ate the prepared salads too quickly before the students could get to the salads. And I had complaints that there were, that the food was too strange, like that there were meals that students didn't like because they were too exotic. And, but, I mean, these were all complaints of privilege. So our food service program is just outstanding, and I can't say enough about it. I hope if folks are interested, type Food is Love into YouTube and watch the Food is Love video that is a documentary about our food service program. So I know our students are missing out on the experience to eat that great food together in our beautiful lunchroom at the high school. What I can say is that our food service program has also undergone a massive shift, and they were actually maybe the first real shift in our district, where they went from preparing and delivering food on site to preparing and delivering food off site. And it was a pretty huge transition. They have converted our entire lunchroom to their prep space, so that they can have a safe way to prepare the food. And they deliver food all over the island. So there's buses that run in the morning that deliver a free sack of breakfast and lunch food to anyone who wants it. And then we also have people come to the high school itself and pick up food. My son has been eating food, you know, more days than not from the school lunch program. And of course, all our students who come on site for on-site learning right now are also getting that same food.
I was going to say, Danny, if you have any of those students that are complaining about the food, you can just send them over to my house to try some of the experiments that I've had in the last 6 months. And a lot of them made out of, what's this in the cottage cheese container that's been in the freezer for the last 6 months, you know? But, you know, hopefully nobody's starved, and that's good. But, I think Vashon pulls a lot of the foods, right from island suppliers, you know, fresh fruit.
Yeah, whenever we can, they partner with Matsuda Farms, and we get seasonal fresh vegetables and lettuce. We also turn over all our food scraps to island farmers for pig food, and wherever we can, we locally source. But it's pretty amazing that our food service program is delivering between 400 and 500 meals every day.
That's great. Yeah. And that also shows really a lot of community involvement too, and people supporting the schools. And I think, one of the positives that we talked about a little bit too is, you know, parents are really seeing, like you said, at that high school level, just how much the schools do provide in the way of just a lot more than reading, writing, and arithmetic. So I think that's great. And I think we've just about run out of our time here. I really appreciate you taking the time, especially after our snafu, and getting you on later than normal, but still appreciate it. So take care, and we'll be in touch, and I'll let you know when the programs are airing.
All right. Thanks very much. Take care.
Hey, you take care and have a great day.
Bye-bye.
And goodbye, Vashon. This is Dr. Steve Nurse. The program is able, the program of possibilities. And we will see you again next week. Thank you.